If you would be turning in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1, we're going to look this morning, Lord willing, at verses 6 through 13. If you're visiting with us, we began a study 4 weeks ago now, beginning to go through at least the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, which is the foundation of everything, including our faith. And so we're just been working our way, and this is the fourth Sunday we've been in Genesis, and we've worked our way to verse number 6. And I thought, this may be the first time that many of you have heard anything about the creation days of Genesis since you were a child. We tend to teach those to children, and then we forget about them and don't look at them anymore. But there's great truth here as we as we examine what God has recorded for us in Genesis. I don't know if you've heard about the thief that broke into the man's house. The man was in bed asleep and heard the rumbling in the other room. And he got up and asked the thief, "What are you doing in my house?" And the thief said, "I'm looking for money." So the man started looking with him. Amen? Seeing if he could find some money. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your blessings on our life. We thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who we are privileged to worship with. And we pray, God, as we open your word and we read it, that you'd give us understanding of it, that you would use it to show us yourself in a greater and fresh way, that we in our own hearts would be rejoicing in who you are, and that we are your children. Lead us and guide us and direct us, we pray and ask in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. Verse 6 of Genesis 1. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. That's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. I have tried to say in each one of the three passages that we have already looked at so far in our study in Genesis that there is an important and overriding principle that we are able to see right at the outset of this book. And this is the principle. If your theology, your study of God, if it begins with man, who man is, and then works its way up to see who God is, you'll ultimately have a man-centered theology. Instead, your theology must discover who the Bible says God is first. And then you work your way down to man. That's the way that we must maintain a God-centered theology. So in the beginning, God says, there was the pre-existent, self-sufficient, eternal, almighty Elohim God. He was before anything was. He is pre-existent. He doesn't need anything else for his sufficiency. He is self-sufficient. He is eternal. He is almighty God. And this God creates the heaven and the earth. And in verse number 2, we discover that this original earth that God created was created by God without form, formless, empty of life, void of light, and covered with water. But we're also told that the Spirit of God was hovering over it, displaying the power, anticipating the power that was about to take hold of this formless, empty earth and fashion it into what Creator God had predetermined for it to be. So God speaks. God communicates His will. God communicates His purpose by saying, "Light be." And we are told immediately that light was. And God looked at the light that He had created, and He pronounces it to be good. Names the light day, names the darkness night, separates them into their fixed places, and forms evening and morning, which makes up a day. And let me say here, up until about 150 years ago, the overwhelming understanding of this text was that these days of creation were literal 24-hour days. The change came, the attempt to change that to ages came in an attempt of Christians to try to harmonize Scripture with the theories of modern science. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the truth. Amen? So now we have gap theories and we have day-age theories and many other theories, but I believe that these were literal 24-hour days. And you don't have to agree with me on that. But I don't think anyone could simply pick up a Bible, read Genesis 1, and come to believe in anything sort of a evolution or a gap theory or a day-age theory. I think the simplest understanding of the text is that these were consecutive 24-hour days. I think that's how God wrote it. And I'm not going to complicate what God has clearly made known. So at this point in our study, we have an earth still formless, right? Still without form, still empty of life, still covered with water. But we no longer have the earth existing in complete, unending darkness. God has created light. That's where we are. And day two begins with the separation of water. God said, verse 6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So the waters that are on the earth are going to be divided. And God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So again, I want you to see, all God does is speak. Just simply, God expresses His will. He communicates His desire. He speaks and it is done. God commands and there is instant obedience to His voice. God begins to transform this chaotic, formless earth by dividing the waters above and below. So this firmament, that word firmament, literally means something that is created by being spread out. It's a spreading out, either by stretching it out like you would stretch out a tent, or hammering it out like you would on metal. This creation, what God does here in verse number 6, is He creates the atmosphere, the atmospheric heavens. It is God creating air for living things to breathe. This expanse, this spreading out is something that is spread out and overlaying something else. God creates a layer over the earth. God creates the atmosphere that surrounds the earth. And this is what scientists call the spheres above the earth. The troposphere, the stratosphere, the mesosphere, the thermosphere, the ionosphere, the exosphere, and the magnetic sphere. This is what surrounds our planet. And this atmosphere, they tell me, is made up of nitrogen, oxygen, and carbon dioxide, and small amounts of other gases. Plus, this atmosphere also contains a variable amount of water. Water above, water below. Do you get that? There is a separation from the waters that cover the planet Earth and the waters that now have been divided from it and reside in the sky. God brings into this world a division of waters below from waters above by the creation of what we call the sky. And you can't see these, you can't see this water that shares this space above us with these other gases, but it's there. And if you have a dehumidifier at your house, turn it on, and you will discover how much water is truly in the air. In fact, they tell me that at any one instant, at any one moment in time, the Earth's atmosphere contains 3.75 million billion gallons of water vapor. 3.75 million billion gallons of water vapor in the atmosphere. And God did that. And this division of water above and below continues, right? And there is a continuous movement of water between the earth and the atmosphere. As liquid water here on earth evaporates, becomes water vapor in the air, condenses to form clouds, and then, guess what? It rains or snows back down on the earth. And there's this continuous cycle of water below and water above. It's a continuous recycling of water. And your God did that. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, this heaven that God calls this sky is not the heaven where God resides. It is the canopy that surrounds the earth that we call the sky. It is what we also refer to in the New Testament as the first heaven. This first heaven, they tell me, I don't know, I haven't been there to the top, a little over 6,000 miles high. Above that is the second heaven, which we would call outer space, where the planets and stars and galaxies exist. And above that second heaven would be the third heaven. That's where we understand God dwells and sits on his throne. So first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Again, God names this expanse, and it is in the naming of this heaven that God exercises his lordship over it. He is the creator of it. He is the sustainer of it. He is the Lord of it. This is the creation of the air that we all breathe. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to take a deep breath. Take it, a deep breath in. That's what God created. It wasn't here originally. God creates it. And God is the Lord over it. What God has done on the second day is he has created a breathable environment for what God intends to create in the days ahead. He is forming this formless earth so that he may fill the emptiness of this earth with life. Do you notice what is missing from verse 8? For the second time, there is an evening and a morning that makes up the second day of the creative work of God. But what is missing here in the second day is the pronouncement by God that his separation of water, his creation of the atmosphere above the earth, he leaves out that it was good. Was it not good? It was good. But God delays his assessment of his work, not because it was not good, but because he's not done with it. So that brings us to point two, the space of land created. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven, that would be the waters that were covering the earth, let the waters under the heaven, under the sky, be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So God speaks again, and God is very specific here. Let the waters under the heaven, not the waters in the heaven that have been gathered there, that have been brought in that place, but let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the waters that cover the face of the earth, not the waters above the earth, be gathered together. So I think we may have the shaking of this formless earth, the upheaval and the rising of land out of the water that covers the earth, so that land is now exposed above this water. So what does God do here? He creates the continents. Asia, Africa, North America, South America, Antarctica, Europe, and Australia. These continents are now created by God by bringing this land out from under its being submerged by water. And it all happened at the sound of his voice, at the direction of his will, at his decree. It was so. So we have water above, we have water below, and in between the waters we have now land, a place of habitation for the life that he is going to create. And God, verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Again, God names the dry land earth. He names the gathered seas, waters, seas. That means he is Lord over it. So there's not a place you can go on earth that God's not Lord. There's not a body of water that you can sail on that God is not Lord over it. And the Creator, God, has absolute right to do what He wills with His creation. He created it formless, empty, dark, covered with water, and now He's beginning to change that. That's His prerogative. He is the Creator. He can do whatever He wills with His creation. He has absolute right over the role and the placement of His creation. He has absolute right to set boundaries for land, fix the places of water. It's His right. And so land is exactly where God commands it to be. And water is exactly where God commands it to be. And land and water maintain, well, they are maintained by God in those determined places. He commands, and His creation must obey. Now the pronouncement. Now that He's finished with forming this formless earth, God pronounces, it is good. Can I add something here? What God creates, the created order, the creative things, His creation does not stand as judge of what is good and what is not good. God stands in judgment of that, not us. Say amen. God alone has the right to determine what is good, and what He determines is good regardless of what His creation thinks or says. What God has done, God does perfectly. Notice thirdly, the seed of life, verse 11 through 16, or 11 through 13. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. This is the land that just had come up out of the water. It's dry land. Let the earth, the land, bring forth grass, this exposed land. Let it bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit trees yielding fruit after His kind, whose fruit is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after His kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after His kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Having formed this formless earth, God now begins to fill this earth that is empty. God formed this earth into an atmosphere. He creates an atmosphere where life can exist, and now He creates space where life can exist. And this dry land that has risen out of the water that had covered the earth now is commanded to bring forth vegetation in grass and herbs and fruit. And just as God has spoken to inanimate objects, water, land, just as He has spoken to inanimate objects and spoken those into being, in His almightiness, He brings forth life with the same authoritative word. This land that was covered in deadness by water is now risen to bring forth life. And God brings forth life. I want you to see. God brings forth this vegetative life with the ability to reproduce itself after its kind. Which means that grass can now reproduce grass. And herbs can reproduce herbs. And fruit can reproduce fruit. Like produces like. They can reproduce, but only according to their nature. They can only reproduce because God has commanded them to, and only according to their nature. So here's my question. How many different varieties of grasses are there? A lot. How many varieties of herbs are there? How many varieties of fruits are there? And they all, every one of them, created by the Word of God in an instant. And they were created fully mature and able to bear after their own kind. Listen, the earth was not created in an immature state and had to evolve into a place of maturity. No, listen, the earth did not grow over time. It happened immediately at the voice of God. And God creates everything fully functioning. Thus the ending of the third day. And God declares, it is good. Now, let me make two applications here. I don't know if you have seen it yet, but there is a principle here that God is working in pairs, in twos. Do you see that? And given the pairs that he works within, he sets upon these pairs differences and distinctions. So we go back, we have God created the heaven and the earth, right? And those two things are distinct and different. Say amen. He has created water above the earth, and he has created water that covers the earth. But they are two things that are distinct from one another. He has created the atmosphere above us, and he has created the land that is below us. Two things, but they are different and distinct. There will be the creation on day number six of what? Male and then female. We will see that there will be good and there will be evil. Faith and unbelief, life and death, truth and false, sin and righteousness, salvation and damnation. God working in pairs, and God making the distinction between the two. And God makes a clear distinction between the two. Are you hearing me? God separates things into its proper place. God puts them in the place of their divinely determined role and their divinely determined place according to a divinely determined purpose. Which means that there is a clear God-ordained order given to this world. And God has determined that there be clear categories and clear distinctions that God makes. And some of those things God declares to be good. Say amen. And these distinctions that God makes are permanent because God never changes. And we as his creation, even though we are the highest level of his creative order, we do not get to call what God does not declare good, good. Say amen. We do not get to declare sin anything other than sin. Say amen. We do not get to change the names. We do not get to alter the roles. And we do not get to manipulate the purposes. We do not have that authority. We do not have that right. We are the created, not the creator. Water is always water. Land is always land. Heaven is heaven. Earth is earth. Grass is grass. Herbs are herbs. Fruit is fruit. Man is a man. A woman is a woman. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. True is true. False is false. Death is death. Life is life. Faith is faith. Unbelief is unbelief. Sin is sin. Salvation is salvation. Damnation is damnation. We do not get to put different labels on them. Say amen. God does that. We do not get to change the pronouns. We do not get to alter genders. We don't get to reclassify sins. We are not the creators. We are the created. We have no rights over this creation. We don't. And not only do we not get to rename them, but we do not get to stand in judgment of the one who does. We, as his created order, must accept his lordship over all things. Say amen. And it's sin whether I do it, you do it, or whoever does it. When it's done, how it's done, sin is sin. We don't get to change that. Say amen. And we live in a culture today that wants to change everything that God has labeled. That a woman's not a woman. That a man's not a man. You do not get the authority to change that. Marriage is between a man and a woman. You do not get to change that. You do not. Secondly, I told you last week when God created light, it is a reminder to us that every morning when we wake up and we're able to see that light coming into your window, you need to be thankful to God because the God who is light has shined forth into the darkness and brought to us light. And brought to you another day of life. And he is faithful to do it every single day. He's done it every day since creative work was done. Every day that light comes into my room, I am to be reminded that darkness doesn't rule and reign. God rules and reigns. And it is just as true that every breath that you take should remind you that it was God that created the very air that you breathe. It is God who created the air that fills your lungs and provides oxygen to every one of your cells in your bodies. That's God. And God holds that air in his hands. And he can take it away. He can take it away from you at any moment. Every breath is a reminder of the goodness of God. every day that it does not rain. We sometimes complain when it doesn't rain. But I want you to think about something. Every day that it doesn't rain, you ought to be reminded that it is by the power of God that He holds up millions of billions of gallons of water above our heads and keeps them from falling and causing catastrophic destruction. 3.75 million billions of gallons of water hanging over us, held up there above us by the power of God. So every day it doesn't rain. Thank you, God. Every day that it does rain, we are reminded that by the power of God, He gives what the earth needs to replenish itself, and then the rain stops and doesn't flood the earth. The very thing that God could just turn loose and destroy us, and He did before. The very thing that God could just simply turn loose and destroy us, He uses to provide for us and bless us with. Every day you eat a salad. Every day you sprinkle herbs on your food. Every day that you eat of the fruit of the ground, you are to be reminded that God created that. That's not something you provided by going to the store and buying. God provided that. And God created it. And it continues because God created it with the ability to reproduce after its own kind. And in fruit, the seed is inside of it. Some great theologian in the 70s put it this way, I think. Every breath you take, every move you make, and every step you take, you are to be reminded that Almighty God is creator and is watching over you. He is creator God. Give Him glory every day. Just by what you see, by what you eat, do all to the glory of God. Give Him glory. Give Him praise. Give Him honor. Give Him your life. You are His. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray.